Hey, it's Big Joe for your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, Absolute Comfort. Chris Wedekin is the owner, and he tells us why many homeowners are giving up their air conditioners for a high-efficiency heat pump.
By removing your air conditioner and replacing it with a heat pump, you are not only saving by getting a higher-efficiency air conditioner, the heat pump works in reverse and saves you money in the wintertime as well.
See if a heat pump is the right move for you by going to absolutecomfort.org. Absolute Comfort is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show.
It's Monday Gun Day with the Gun Guy.
Just watch out for the guns. They'll get
Guy Rilford.
Stop calling your arms guns.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest on the hotline.
He is a 2A attorney, a firearms instructor, and the host of the Gun Guy Show here at 93 WIBC. Guy Rilford joins us. Guy, how are you?
Man, I'm great, and thanks as always to our sponsor for Monday Gun Day. That's Premier Arms in Brownsburg, with the largest selection of new, used, and historic firearms in the Midwest, and PA Jewelers, located right in the store. Check them out at 3754 South Green Street in Brownsburg, or premierarms.com.
So I want to get into what the Department of Justice has been given two thumbs up to do here in just a moment. But over the weekend, you put something out on social media.
That was hilarious.
And I believe you also talked about it on your program, The Gun Guy Show. There's a little update in some of the rating from the NRA in regards to political candidates here in Indiana. Walk me through it.
Yeah, this is just too delicious. You know, our buddy Jefferson Shreve, who ran for mayor, before he ran for mayor, unsuccessfully, obviously, he ran for state senate. And when he ran for state senate, he ran in a primary against Senator Jack Sandlin, who actually we just lost. And Jack was a great proponent of Second Amendment rights. He and I worked on many bills together. He wrote the original church carry bill. We finally got passed 2019. Good guy. Anyway, when they were going into that race, Jefferson Shreve filled out the NRA survey about how he felt about different Second Amendment-related issues. And based on the results of that survey, he got an A rating from the NRA because he answered everything, you know, correctly from the NRA's perspective. So he got an A rating. Well, then he runs for mayor, and he decides the way to become mayor in Marion County is to completely abandon any support for the Second Amendment and propose a bunch of gun control. In fact, he pretty much the same gun control that Joe Hogsett was advocating for. And so hit the incredible brain trust that put, you know, all this together, the people that ran his campaign, put him in this in a horrible trick bag that's his fault, which is he was getting attacked by the Hogsett campaign because he had an A rating from the NRA, and he was getting attacked by, you know, all the gun, or excuse me, all the pro-2A advocates, me included, you guys included, because he was advocating for all this gun control. So he ticked everybody off. Well, now that he's running for the 6th District congressional seat, in that primary, he's campaigning, saying, oh, they attacked me in Marion County because I stand up for the Second Amendment, kind of leaving out the part where he completely abandoned the Second Amendment and stabbed us in the back by advocating things like an assault weapon ban, quote unquote, raising the age to buy a gun, rolling back constitutional carry in Marion County. But now that he's running in the 6th District, and there's a strong 2A support in that congressional district, he's touting his A rating. And oh, oops, the NRA came out and updated their ratings, and old Jefferson got a big fat F, as in
oh. So the new NRA rating on Jefferson Shreve has him with an F.
But yeah, it I guess there's such a thing,
wow,
as an F minus. I don't know if I've ever seen one.
He's Blutarsky at this point. 0.0.
Yeah. So his ability to claim support for the Second Amendment just crashed and burned in a particularly fiery inferno.
I don't know the guy personally. I'm sure he's a nice guy. It just seems like it's one blunder after the other for this guy that desperately wants to be a politician.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, when they're sitting in the strategy room, you know, and he's working with these people like this incredible genius Mark Lubbers, who killed Senator Richard Lugar's campaign, killed his political career. I mean, when they're saying they're going, okay, well, you know, we advocated for all this gun control, but hey, we really want to lead with Second Amendment support in when we're running for Congress. You know, why isn't there somebody in the room going, you know, how's that really going to play out given what we did in Marion County? What, somebody going, oh, nobody will remember. You know, that was, what, 3 months ago, months ago? I mean, no. Well, they'll forget that we completely stabbed the Second Amendment in the back. No, sorry, man. The internet's forever, and you're being held accountable.
And the 6th District, you know, again, Columbus, that's WIBC country. You know, they love us down there. You know, our friends at Thompson Furniture and Mattress, right, and even in Richmond, this is all in the WIBC zone. So I know voters in those areas hear what's going on. They know about this guy. Like, you're right. This has just been one blunder after the other.
It's really exactly how not to run political campaigns, and it's kind of, you know, I don't know. If I had any respect for the guy, I would be embarrassed for him. But it's an incredible blunder. And I got to tell you, I mean, during the Marion County race for mayor, I was calling my contacts at NRA going, hey, when are you guys going to take a look at these ratings? Because, you know, people are saying he's got an A rating and he's proposing all this gun control, things that we've been fighting against, you know, shoulder to shoulder with NRA for a long time. And, you know, and I go, well, you know, we have a regular cycle. We're working on that. It won't be too long. And, man, it couldn't have come out, in my mind, at a better time, and I'm sure a worse time for the Shreve campaign.
And, Guy, it's the last thing that law-abiding citizens need to go to Washington is somebody else that wants to blame you for the problems as a law-abiding gun owner. Because just this past weekend, this new $1.2 trillion bill that was passed through the Senate and the House, also pushing this crap through.
Thank God we got the government running for another couple of months.
But also in that bill, it gives the DOJ this new power to operate a red flag control center, basically.
Yeah, that's really weird, Guy. You're going to have to walk us through this.
Yeah, they're calling it the Red Flag Resource Center. And this was actually something that was called for and funding provided for all the way back. Remember the Safer Communities Act of, 2022? That our own Todd Young voted for, notwithstanding a long conversation I had with him, you know, hoping to talk him out of it. But a whole bunch of moving pieces in that thing, but it was mainly aimed at gun control. But one thing was to fund, as this latest omnibus bill did, to your guy's point, a red flag resource center at the Department of Justice. And what this is to provide is to be able to walk people through. If you say, hey, you know, I'd really like to eliminate the Second Amendment rights of this particular person that I got a beef with, or that I'm going through a divorce with, or whatever it might be, I'll just call the resource center and I'll figure out exactly how I can deprive them of their Second Amendment rights. And listen, I'm not saying there aren't, you know, people out there in serious need of mental health intervention and treatment, and we ought to be focused on getting those people help and if there are resources, then that's one thing. But I handle red flag cases here in Indiana. Indiana was the second state in the country all the way back in 2005 to pass a so-called red flag statute. And so people know what we're talking about. This is where guns can be seized from someone who has not committed any crime, not been arrested, not been convicted of anything, but their guns can be seized from them and they can lose their Second Amendment rights based on the allegation that they're quote-unquote dangerous. Not a criminal. Again, I haven't committed a crime, but they're dangerous. And I've seen it abused horribly. And I just won two red flag cases last week. In a 4-day period, I won two red flag cases, and that's because there was an allegation my clients were dangerous. They were not dangerous. We had to go in and prove that they were not dangerous in a court of law and prove that these allegations were frivolous, which we did. And they both got their guns back and their rights are restored. But it makes me nervous that the Biden administration, through the Justice Department, wants to basically facilitate the elimination of Second Amendment rights, as a lot of people say, with no due process.
Okay, well, weren't you part of the improving the legislation here in Indiana with the red flag laws?
Yeah,
like there was something that you didn't like, and you were helped improve that law.
Yeah, that was back in 2019, and I worked with Representative Donna Shibley, and we greatly improved it. For instance, it used to say in the definition of dangerous, where your rights could be eradicated, it used to say you're dangerous if you may, the word was may, I kid you not, may become a risk of personal injury to yourself or others in the future. May in the future. What the hell? I mean, everybody qualifies under that. And then combined with that, it said, Anders, you have a propensity for violent or emotionally unstable conduct. What the hell does emotionally unstable mean? I mean, you watch me after a Colts quarterback throws an interception, you're going to say I'm emotionally unstable. But, I mean, does that mean I should lose my Second Amendment rights? I mean, it was just ridiculous. So anyway, so we fixed the definition. We took this May business out completely. And I was talking about this emotionally unstable issue. And one of the legislators said, well, guy, we're trying to get people to get to people who are suicidal. I said, awesome. Let's say suicidal. Because I can prove whether or not someone's suicidal. Have they tried to hurt themselves? No. Have they talked about killing themselves? No. Have they ever tried to kill themselves? No. They're not suicidal. I win. But emotionally unstable is whatever a judge wants it to mean, and that's why it was ridiculous. And we greatly improved the statute in 2019, but it's still subject to abuse. And people who are not in any way dangerous get accused of this, and they have to hire a lawyer and defend themselves. And that kind of abuse, it seems to me, is just being facilitated by the Biden administration.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and please do, Guy. I think you're somebody that isn't against the red flag law, because we have one here in Indiana, if it's used properly. Like the FedEx shooter is probably the most high-profile example here in Indiana. This was somebody where the family said, please take away his guns. He is unstable. There's no future about it. He's unstable right now. And of course, you know, Joe Hogsett and Ryan Mears completely dropped the ball on that. But I think you're also somebody that doesn't like the government being in charge of this as opposed to states and individual areas. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, it is. I mean, and I catch some heat for this, but what I've said to you guys, and this is where your comment comes from, Jason, is that listen, when we get reports, whether it's the Parkland shooter, or you know, like you mentioned, the FedEx shooter right here in Indianapolis, when police are advised that someone is contemplating a mass shooting and that they're mentally unbalanced. And that, you know, there are multiple trips to that person's home in Marion County here in the FedEx shooter's case. You know, guns were seized from this guy and police filed the red flag paperwork. And then the prosecutor drops the ball. Nothing happens. And a lot of us, when you're upset, and if you say, listen, police were advised of this and they didn't do anything, or the Parkland shooter, you know, police went to his house like 30 or 40 times, something incredible, high number of times being called because this guy was violent. And people want to criticize and say, why didn't someone do something? Well, if you haven't been arrested or prosecuted for a crime, to do something, you have no legal mechanism to do. So is there a place for these kinds of laws? There is, but it's very, very narrow. And to me, it's all about due process. It's all about making sure that people very quickly have the ability to go in and disprove false allegations or to just disprove, you know, wrong allegations that they're dangerous and they ought to have due process. And so many of these get used in a way where they're really lacking due process, and that's the biggest fault. There is a very narrow sliver. There's a limited role where they can do some good. And people come after me and say, oh, well, you know, you're not really a 2A supporter because, you know, you support red flag. I go, look, I'm not supporting red flag laws. I'm telling you there's a limited role. And if you're telling me that somebody should have done something in Parkland or in Marion County relative to the FedEx shooting, and by definition, you're telling me there's a role for red flag laws because that kid hadn't been convicted of anything. So what were anybody to do, whether it's prosecutors or police, to do as you're calling for them to have done? What were they to do with absent that legal mechanism? So there is a narrow sliver where they play a legitimate role, but the issue is to cut down on the abuse and very narrowly define when they apply.
Where can people reach out to you and get more information?
Best way is really at Twitter, at Guy Relford. And I'm pretty responsive on there, at Guy Relford.
Guy, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.